Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 3. We'll read verses 17 through 24 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Colossians, chapter 3, verses 17 through 24. Colossians 3:17 through 24. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And let's pray. Father, thank you. Oh, Lord, so many times we walk through this world and we see people who are discouraged, have no hope. And when we come to a place like this, our church, we're refreshed. We find hope. We hear the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. We sense your presence of the Holy Spirit here. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts. Change our lives so that we could serve you more, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Matt is another one of those men who I've trained to sing. This morning's sermon may fall into a category that some of you would not quite understand, but it's probably a little more a Sunday night type of a sermon than a Sunday morning. This morning's sermon is the kind of sermon that I would preach to the backbone of the church. It's more apt to be the Sunday night crowd than the Wednesday night crowd. It's not as entertaining as what I wish it was, but it is more necessary than it is entertaining. It's a strengthening sermon. You see, there are all sorts of churches. They meet, they draw a crowd, but there's really no fiber. There's really no solidity. They're just a group of people that do not have a common denominator. They therefore scatter quite easily. That's not the kind of church that I think God wants us to have, nor is it the kind of church that I want to pastor. I would like to pastor a group of people who have backbone. I would like to pastor a group of people that are a part of the fiber of the work of God, a part of that backbone of the church. This is a Bible-believing church. This is a Bible-obeying church. This is a Bible-respecting church. Just so you know, you say, well, I know somebody that goes to your church, and I've seen them in the bars, and I've seen them out doing this and out doing that. Well, just so you know, we disagree with that around here. You might see somebody that comes to our church or hear of somebody that comes to our church who has done wrong or they're not doing right. Now, we'll love them and we'll help them. We're not for it, just so you know. We don't condone it. No, not at all. But so you know, we're a Bible-believing church. Now, I'll be honest with you. You'll either get what I preach to you today, or you will remain somewhat wishy-washy and weak in your Christianity. The sermon today is not one of those where, oh, I touch on a subject that we can kind of take it or leave it. It's the kind of sermon, I'm going to touch on a subject, if you don't take it, you're probably going to leave the things of Christ someday. Because this is one of those things that are main ingredients in regard to being a good Christian. You know something, I don't want to just have a big church. I want to have a strong church. I want to have, you say, what's a strong church? That's where sitting in the pews are strong Christians. Now, well, we don't want to have a strong, there are some churches out there that say, well, we're strong. Yeah, there's six of you. And all six of you show up for all the services. You're not reaching anybody. Sure, when you got six people, it's easy to have a strong church. I'm talking about a big church that's a strong church, and that's doable. That's possible. It's possible to have a church with hundreds and thousands of people in it, but yet it be a strong church. That's what I want. I want a strong church. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to eliminate the baby Christians. Not at all. If you're a brand new Christian here today, God bless you. We're glad you're here. There have been people already saved this morning, adults already saved this morning. You're brand new to the things of God, and we're pleased and we're proud, and you're a part of this this congregation today, and maybe you'll follow the Lord in believer's baptism later on. I hope so, and I hope you'll begin to grow. But I'm not saying we're going to eliminate the baby Christians and the young ones, not at all. Oh, but even those young Christians, you'll have to learn what I'm about to teach you if you plan to be faithful and stay in church and you plan to keep on serving God. Have you ever noticed people come and go, come and go, come and go? Now, most we have a big old batch of people that come and stay here, but part of the reason is because we're a Bible-believing church, and we want to grow strong people, strong in the Lord. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men." I call the sermon, "Do It Because the Bible Says So." Do it because the Bible says so. Oh, I could give it another title. I could call this sermon Bible Convictions. Bible Convictions. The Bible says, as to the Lord and not unto men. You know, God wants you to do what you do for Him as unto Him and not unto men. Let me read a couple of scriptures to you. 2 Timothy 1:12 says this, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." That is Paul speaking. Let me show you the boldness of Paul. Paul said, "I know something. I know." He didn't say, "I'm guessing about it." He didn't say, "I kind of think." He said, "I know. I know." You know what had happened? Paul looked in the Bible. He saw the truth of the Bible. He said, "I now know what the Bible says." He said, "I have been persuaded about something, and I know that something, and it's kind of a done deal in Paul's thinking." Paul said, "I went to the Bible, I found what the Bible said, it persuaded me, now I know it." Boy, that's what Christians ought to be like. I know what I believe. I know where I stand. I know what the Bible says. Acts 19:26, it says, "Moreover, you see and hear, that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made of hands." This, here's what the Bible says here. Paul, it is being said of Paul and his influence that he had been going around and he had been boldly persuading people to understand there's no such thing as a God made with hands. He was saying, there is one God. That is Jehovah God, the God of the universe. And he had been going around persuading people that there are some things that they ought to know. I know that. Not I think that. I know that. I'm for that. The Bible says that. That settles it. That's what the Bible says. Paul had been going around persuading people that way. Then, in Acts 21:14, it says, "And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done." Here's what happened. There are some people that were trying to persuade Paul to change his mind. And the Bible says here, they could not persuade him to change his mind about what the Bible said. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed it, and I'm persuaded of it." He said, "I found it in the Bible. It's in the Bible. I believe the Bible. Now that settles it." Then Paul went around everywhere he went persuading people to find out what the Bible says and to believe what the Bible says. Some people came along and tried to persuade Paul to change his mind, and they said, "You can't persuade this guy to change his mind. He knows what he believes, and he believes what he knows, and he's not changing." Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21 says this, "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving God glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, here it says that Paul staggered not. He said, I believe it. I am not going to stagger at what I believe. You're not going to knock me off balance about what I believe. Then it uses the words, he was fully persuaded. Can I tell you something? If the Bible says it, you ought to believe it and be fully persuaded that the Bible's true. And then, you don't change what you believe. You don't change what you believe. The Bible said here, he was fully persuaded. He said, I am not going to stagger in what I stand for, and I'm not going to stagger in what I believe. 2 Corinthians 5:8, it says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I love this. Paul said, I understand something. I understand that when we die, we go to heaven. He said, and I am confident of that. I am confident of that. That's confidence. That's why Paul didn't stagger. He said, I've been persuaded. He said, I haven't just been persuaded, I've been fully persuaded. I know whom I have believed. I am confident, and I'm not changing. People try to persuade him. He said, I'm not changing. I'm not changing. I know what the Bible says. I believe what the Bible says. I know who wrote the Bible. I know I'm supposed to do what the Bible says. And that's it, period. And I'm not changing. Oh, but we live in a generation that does not want absolutes. You know, folks, some things are absolutely wrong, and some things are absolutely right. So, well, now, Brother Owens, what about the gray areas? Well, there may be some gray areas about some things, but there are some things that are just wrong. And you say, well, what makes you think so? God, the Bible. Some things are absolutely wrong, and some things are absolutely right. You see, well, who decides that? God. God. God determines right. God determines wrong, not you. You say, well, let me tell you how I feel about it. I don't care how you feel about it. Well, I'll tell you what I think. I don't care what you think. You say, you upset with me? No, and I'll tell you something. You ought to decide that it doesn't matter what you think, but it matters what God thinks. You ought to decide that what God says is what the issue is, not what you say. Well, let me tell you how I feel. Don't care how you feel. Now, you know, I realize you got an upset stomach right now, and I care about that. Just hold it in until after the service, if you would. But I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter what I think, doesn't matter my angle on it, matters what God feels, matters what God thinks, matters what God feels about it. Christians are to be stable. The reason why there are so many people that are unstable, I preached a sermon last Sunday morning called As Unstable as Water. I almost follow it up today with this sermon called Do It Because the Bible Says So, because we have got to be stable in what we believe. Christians are to be stable. You will be stable when you look into the Bible, see what the Bible teaches, you become persuaded and you say, that's it, the Bible says it, I'm going to do it, period. End of the deal. People don't, you know, the preacher doesn't have to beg and beg and beg and beg and try to convince. No, you say the Bible says it, I've seen it, I believe it, I'm going to live it. That's how it is. Now, that's what Christians are supposed to do. Now, the preacher's got his work cut out for him because you got a whole bunch of people that they don't want the Bible to tell them what to do. They don't want the Bible to be their final authority. They don't want that. They've got to be persuaded. But I'm telling you here today, if the Bible says it, that ought to persuade you to do it, and it ought to be a done deal. You just do what the Bible says. That brings strength to a church.
Yes, sir.
Hey, that brings strength to a pastor. Some people call it arrogance. I call it confidence, because when you stand on the Word of God, there is a confidence that you can have that it's not necessarily that you're right, but you're standing on what's right. I'm not trying to say Jeff Owens is right all the time, but I will tell you this, the Bible's right all the time. And the more I stand on the Bible, the more I am associated with that right that the Bible stands for. Let me tell you how to make your family stable. You get the Bible out, you say, the Bible says that that's what we're doing around here, and that's it. Said, well, I don't know how I feel about it, and I don't really like that. Well, it really doesn't matter. You got to do what the Bible says. I'll tell you how we can make America strong again. We get this old black book out again. We say the Bible says it. That means it's wrong. The Bible says we ought to do it, so we ought to do it. We don't need a bunch of lost congressmen telling the saved people how to live.
We ought to get the Bible out and say, right there, the Word of God said this is how it's supposed to be, so that's how it's supposed to be. Done deal. Done deal.
Oh, but man wants to debate it. Man wants to figure out a way around it. Man doesn't want to obey it. So, I want to talk to you about this subject, about convictions in the Bible, or do it because the Bible says so. Now stay with me as I build upon the thought of the morning. Number one, you're to do all that you do because the Bible teaches you to. You're to do all that you do because the Bible teaches you to. I must live what the Bible teaches if I'm going to please God. He said, Brother Owens, that's a given. That is not a given to everybody in this room. That is not a given. Now, there are some people in here, they will dogmatically say, Brother Owens, I not only will shake my head up and down in agreement with you, but I live that. I believe that. I am to do all that I do according to the Bible. But I'll guarantee you, there are people here, they won't do all that they do according to the Bible. They're not going to do it. There are some that have been religious for a long time, but they're what you call a religious liberal. They don't believe in the authority of the Word of God. They don't believe that. So they're religious, and they'll show up around church, but they're not coming with a dogmatic belief in the Word of God that whatever it says, you've got to do it. Now, I happen to believe whatever God said, I've got to do it. I have no choice about it. He is God. I'm just a dumb old sinful human being, and I'm going to shut up and obey. But there are all sorts of people. There are no way. They're not going to do that. They're not interested in that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So we're to eat what God wants us to eat. We're to drink what God wants us to drink. We're to whatsoever we do, what God wants us to do. And it goes all the way to the extreme. All. All. Now, when you go preaching, do all that God tells you to do. There's some people say, what are you talking about? That's ridiculous. Well, it comes from the Bible. I'm not supposed to pick and choose what I want to do. I'm just to decide I'm going to obey God and then obey God. God's book is our guidebook, and it's to dictate how we live. And just so you know, I don't know where people get this thing of, I'll do it down on the church property. Well, I would never do that at the church. What? Well, I would never do that at the church. The way you live at the church is the way you're supposed to live at home. I can't find anywhere in the Bible where it says live one way at church and another way at home. There are all sorts of people who think they're showing respect to the church because they come down to the church in a certain way. And, oh, when I'm on the church property, I'm going to do something certain. Hey, if it's good for church, it's good for home. 24/7. And there are people, this is too big for them. They will not accept this. They will not accept the fact that all that we do is to be done according to the Bible. God's book is our guidebook, 365 days a year, 52 weeks out of the year. This book is not a suggestion book, it's a command book. It's a command book. This book is how we're to make our lives decisions. It helps us to decide the who of life, the what of life, the how of life, the where of life, and the why of life. That's what it's all about. And so, I say to you, number one, you are to do all that you do, all that you do, all that you do, because the Bible teaches you to. Now, there's some of you, that is the biggest point in this whole sermon for you. I'll lose you for the rest of the sermon. Because you can't accept that. And until you can accept the authority of the Word of God, you're going to stay a staggering, unfastened type of a Christian. You're going to hop around. You're going to hop around in what you believe. You're going to hop around in the way you live. You probably hop around from churches. You're going to hop around in your faithfulness. You're never going to be stable. Why? Because you have not stabilized your thinking in saying, He is God. I am not. He wrote a book, told me to obey it. I'm going to. Done deal. From here on out, I just follow. I just follow His guide. Now, some of you, I'm about to leave you. For the rest of you, stay with me. Number two, if you do not know what the Bible teaches you to do, you should do what other good Christians are doing until you learn what the Bible teaches you to do. Now stay with me. God wants you to know what the Bible teaches. I'm here to tell you, you ought to know what you believe. You ought to do what the Bible teaches you to do. But until you know what the Bible teaches, then you ought to find the very best Christian you know, watch how they're living, and live like they're living. You say, are you telling me that man should be my guide? Well, the Bible teaches man could be your example until you know what the Bible says. Hey, I want you to live according to the Bible.
But if you can't show me from the Bible what you believe, you're still supposed to live the best you can. So, well, I don't know what the Bible says. Well, that doesn't give you a license to live any way you want. When I stand here today and I say, you're to do what you do according to this old black book, and you say, well, I don't know what it says. Well, that doesn't cut you loose to live any way you want, because there are all sorts of godly examples around of how you ought to live until you can figure out from the black book what God said to you about living. Look at the best Christian you know and follow their example until you know yourself what the Bible teaches about your behavior. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 3:2. It says, ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. What it's talking about here is Christians are to live the Bible to the point that somebody else can look at your life and say, that's what a good Christian is. I will follow their example. Now, eventually, this person watching you is going to find out where in the Bible your good behavior was found, and they're going to do it because the Bible says to do it. But until then, you find the best Christian you can, and you say, look at him, look at her. Well, that's the best, one of the best Christians in the whole church. I don't know why they're living the way they are, but I do know it's good. I'll follow that example until I see in black and white print in the Bible what to do. So God is not giving you the freedom. You say, well, I don't know what the Bible says about that, so I don't have to live it. I'm sorry. The Bible says there are people that are living the Word of God, and you can virtually read in their life what you ought to be living without having ever found it in print, the old black book. That's what God's saying. We're not to live any way we want just because we don't know what the Bible teaches. God has given us examples, and these people's lives, you can read how you live by reading their lives. I remember the first time that I was in church, or when I first started getting into church. It's kind of a country church, and I was around all these people I did not know. And I didn't know how to talk to them, and I didn't know what to say to them. I was just kind of standing there, and I kind of felt out of place, and I'm thinking, what am I supposed to do? And I'm just standing there, and people are coming in, and there's this guy at the back door. He was a greeter, and I didn't know that he was a greeter, but that's what he was. He was a greeter there. And I was standing there, and I was just feeling kind of dumb. You know what I mean, Brother Bush. I was just feeling kind of dumb standing there, and every person that came in, he'd shake his hand out, shake their hand, and say, howdy, brother. Howdy, brother. Howdy. And at first couple, I thought, man, he's got a lot of family in this church. Howdy, sister. Howdy. Well, howdy wasn't the way I would have said it. I would have said hi, but I wanted to fit in. So you know what? I watched him do that a couple services, and I was standing back there in the back, and so people started coming in, and I just stuck my hand out and said to everybody, howdy, brother. Howdy, brother. Howdy, brother. Howdy, sister. Howdy, sister. Howdy, sister. It was a long time until I found out that I was to greet the brethren according to the Bible, that I was to be hospitable to people, that I was to greet people. It was a long time until I found in the book of Psalms that David talked about being a doorman at the house of the Lord. But I'll tell you something. I seen somebody. I knew what they were doing was right. I didn't know where it was at in the Bible, but I knew it was right. I knew it was wholesome. I knew it was a good example. That guy standing at the back door, he was at everything that went on at the church. He was the friendliest, kindest, most gentle man I think I had ever met in my life. And until I learned what the Bible said about being friendly, there was somebody that was an example to me. And I just started doing what the friendliest person in the church was doing. You know, something that didn't hurt me a bit. I found out since then that's how you're supposed to behave according to the Bible. Just because you don't know what the Bible says doesn't mean that you can't do right. Just find the best Christian in this church and say, you know what? I think I'll be like that. Some of you ladies, you say, well, I don't know all about what I'm supposed to do in the Christian graces. Just watch Joan Cain for a little bit. You'll learn how to live. You'll learn how to live. She just last week, she gave up chewing tobacco. Then a scuffle. But you see, this thing of Bible conviction. Number one, you're to do what you do because the Bible teaches you to do it. Number two, if you don't know what the Bible teaches you to do, that does not release you to do anything you want or to ignore responsibility. You find the best Christian you know, read their life, and then you live the part of the Bible that they're living. You read it in them. Number three, we all need to know why we believe what we believe and let the Bible be our final authority. I want you to be able to go into your Bible and show someone why you believe the way you believe. our church took 41 straight Wednesday nights. And I taught the doctrine of the Bible. I taught you why the Bible says what it says, where the Bible says it, why God put it the way He did. We studied the doctrine of the Bible. I want you to know the Bible. I don't want you to be a bunch of weak-kneed, staggering Christians. I don't want that for you. I want you to know yourself why you live the way you live. We should let the Bible have the final say-so in all that we do. Everybody here, you ought to have a desire to be like the Apostle Paul. Paul said, I am confident. I am fully persuaded. I am unchangeable. There are some things that I know whether anybody else likes it or not. I have not staggered in my belief. I have some convictions about me. I'm not changing. That's impossible. I want everybody in our church to be like that. Teenagers, that's how you ought to be. Some of you young people ought to know what you believe and why you believe it. You sat under the Bible teaching of Greg Nash over there in Martinsburg Christian Academy, and he's one of the finest Bible teachers you'll meet. I happen to know. He's taught you some things from the Bible. It's time for some of you to say, it's in the Bible. I believe it. I live it. I don't care what the rest of the youth department does. Get you some backbone. Confidence. It's called conviction. You say, is it cockiness? No, it's confidence. Why? I'm fully persuaded if God said it, I'm to obey it. That's the end of it. And no conversation needed. Yeah. How it is. And so, I said this. I said, number one, you're to do all that you do because the Bible teaches you to. Number two, if you don't know what the Bible teaches, then you follow the example of another great Christian, not just an average, a great Christian, until you find out what the Bible says. I said, number three, we need to let the Bible be the final authority in our life. Number four, we should not do what we do for the wrong reasons. We should not do what we do for the wrong reasons. We should not live for the Lord for the wrong reasons. So what do you mean by that? Let me show you. Don't do what you do because you come to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Don't do what you do because you come to Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I'll tell you why. Because when you go to the Perry Como's Presbyterian Church or Mark the Methodist Church, you're going to change every time you go somewhere. You ought not be doing that. You ought not do what you do because you come to the church called the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. You ought to do what you do because the Bible says you do. That's why. You do it because God said so. You do it because it's taught in God's Word. We do what we do at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church because the Bible says you're supposed to do it. You going to some other church should not change what you believe about the Bible. You need to say, the Bible says it, I'm going to do it, it doesn't matter where I am. You see, but don't do what you do because you come to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Secondly, don't do what you do because your best friend does it. We should live right with or without our friends. Well, if my friend will change this part of her life, I will. Grow up! There's some of you, you've got some friends, and they're not right with God, and you're going to let them monitor your Christianity. It ought not be that way. You ought to say, I'm doing it with or without my friends. The Bible says it. I'm going to do it. That's the end of it. It's conviction with me. I am persuaded. I am fully persuaded. I will not stagger with that. Now, this is quite simple teaching.
Amen.
It's dogmatic teaching. Why? Because I'm persuaded that this is the way the Bible teaches us to live. Don't do it because you come to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Don't do it because it's what your friends do. Hey, don't do it to get a chance of leadership in the church. Say, well, I know if I'll change this about my life or change that about my life, I could lead down at the church. You shouldn't do it to get a position. You do it because the Bible says to do it. You're to live right because you're to live right, not because of opportunity. I had someone say to me, well, you know, if we would have a chance to do thus and so, we might be willing to make these changes. Poppycock. I'm not for sale, neither are the positions in this church. You don't have to bargain with me. It's God that you have to deal with. And if God said, do it, you ought to do it. You say, well, if I get a move up, I'll do it. Hey, you ought to be moving up in your Christianity. You ought to do what's right to do, whether you get anything out of it or not. That's what conviction is. conviction, it says, the Bible says it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it whether I'm at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church or not. I'm going to do it whether my best friend does it or not. I'm going to do it whether I get a chance for leadership or not. Do it because it's right to do. You don't do it because you what you get out of it. You do it because of what you become by doing it. And that's obedient. That's obedient. So what I'm telling you is, what Bible conviction is you say it's in the Bible. I'm going to do it because the Bible says to do it. And I'm not going to change. And I'm not going to do it for the wrong reason. There are many of you, you are living some things that you ought to be living. I don't want you to stop living those things. But some of you are living right, but you're living right because you come to this church and you ought to be living right because the Bible tells you to live right. There are some of you, you're living right, but you're living right because your friend is living right now. But I'm going to tell you something. If your friend is living wrong, tomorrow you're going to follow your friend and you ought to live right, not because your friend did, but because you're supposed to live right. You say, I'll get a chance for leadership, which means this. There are some of you, you better lock into what you believe because you say, well, I'm in a leadership role at the church right now, so I'm to live thus and so, which means the minute you lose your leadership, you're going to lose your Christianity because you're going to give up what was supposed to be a Bible conviction in the first place because you only did it to get a position. You didn't do it to be obedient. That makes sense to you all. Is everybody with me here? Don't do it for the wrong reason. Don't do it because your parents do it. Young people, teenagers, you do right because God said to do right. You do right. Hey, young people, I want you to live the holy, godly way your parents want you to live. But I want you to do it for two reasons. Number one, because you ought to obey your parents. But number two, you ought to be obeying God. If you live right only because you live with your parents, you will live wrong when you don't live with your parents. I watch it happen time and time and time again all across America. There are young people that graduated from good old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist schools. They graduated last Friday night or next Friday night. They're going to leave mom and dad over the summer, and they're going to leave behind righteous living because they were only living right because they live with mom and dad. Living right had never become a conviction of theirs. And it either becomes a part of you where you as a young person said, I am persuaded, I am fully persuaded, the Bible says it, whether I live with mom and dad or not, I'm going to do what's right. I was living what was right when my mom and dad were not. And you can do that. You can live right no matter what everybody around you are doing. That's why God's personal God. So don't do what you do for the wrong reasons. Don't do it just because your parents are doing it. Don't do it just so you fit in. Around a church like this, there's not a whole lot of negative peer pressure. Oh, we got a handful of about three teenage girls and a couple boys that are putting negative peer pressure on people. And parents, don't be shocked if they're not in trouble all summer long. They got rebellious spirits. But you know something? That's pretty rare. We don't have a lot of negative peer pressure in this church. You say, why? Because there's positive peer pressure in this church. There's positive peer pressure. I don't have to preach on a lot of subjects all the time because everybody around here is living it and expecting it, and so we're almost scared not to. It's called positive peer pressure. Well, I don't like that. Well, negative peer pressure runs wild. But don't do what you do just because of peer pressure. You live right because God said to live right. You see, if the only reason you're living right and doing right is because you're around a bunch of peers that put that pressure on you, the minute you're away from those peers, you'll stop living right. And you're not supposed to stop living right. You're persuaded. You're convicted. You're convinced. It's settled. It's a done deal. You're always going to live that way. Why? Because the Bible says you're supposed to live that way. That's what the Bible says. Don't let peer pressure determine your holy living, but let Holy Spirit pressure determine your holy living. And if you're saved, the Holy Spirit's sealed within you, He's always going to be there. Hey, I say don't do it for the wrong reasons. Don't do it because you come to Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Don't do it because your best friend does. Don't do it because you get a chance for leadership. Don't do it because your parents do it. Don't do it just so you fit in. Hey, don't do it because you feel like doing it. I get this now. Some of you really need to listen. There are people, if you don't listen to what I say and if you don't establish that from now on you do what you do by conviction, you won't be in this church a year from now. You won't last. You'd be so wishy-washy emotionally, doctrinally. You won't make it. You need to do what you do because the Bible says to do it, and that's it. Period. Don't do it because you feel like doing it. Do it because God's Word teaches you to do it. Someone said to me, well, I've seen it in the Bible. I mean, they actually said this to me. I see it in the Bible. It's clear. But I don't feel convicted. I don't feel convicted. I don't know if some of you learned that somewhere, but I don't feel if it's in the Bible, you're supposed to do it. That is the conviction, my friend. What you're telling me is, if a murderer is not convicted about murdering, then it's okay. Well, I don't believe that. If a drunkard says, well, I don't feel convicted, I see it right there in the Bible, but I don't feel convicted, your feelings have nothing to do with it. The Bible is your God. You're to shut up and do what the Bible says. And I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just saying stop debating the Bible with God. You're not debating it with me, you're debating it with God. If the Bible says it, that ought to be your conviction. Your conviction is the Bible says it, that's the end of it. Look, if all I did was what I felt like doing, you know, I don't feel convicted every time I put my tithe in the offering. Well, then we'll just tithe when we feel like it, when we feel convicted about it. That's why some of you are unfaithful to church. You're not convicted. You know, the Bible teaches you're to be faithful, period. But you go by your feelings. But don't do what you feel like doing. It is the Bible that is conviction. Some people have a misrepresentation about what conviction is. You think it's all about your feelings. I'm sorry if the Bible says that you're to do it. That is the conviction. That's what conviction is. Conviction is, it's right there in black and white. Do it! Well, right now I don't feel like it. What? I didn't feel like getting up on Tuesday. I didn't feel like paying my rent. I'm not convicted about paying my rent. I'm not being led. And you signed a contract, gave your word that you'd pay your rent whether you feel like it or not. Pay your rent.
Right.
Pay your rent. It's in black and white. So if a murderer just doesn't feel like murdering is bad and they're not convicted about it, then they can go ahead and murder. Feelings don't determine conviction. Truth does. If it's in the Bible, it should be your conviction. Number next. If you do what you do because the Bible says so, it doesn't matter where you go, who you're with, you will continue to do right no matter what. I said, if you do what you do because the Bible says so, it will not matter where you go, who you're with, how old you are, your convictions never change. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. God said, I am what I am, and I don't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means this. Get this. Some of you really need to get this. To me, this is almost baby food. But geographical location does not determine Bible conviction. Where you're at in the United States of America or anywhere in the world does not determine how you live. Whether you're in the north, the south, the east, or the west, you live the same. Doesn't matter if you're in the United States of America or the foreign country. And Brother Heidenreich, our missions director, would tell you this. There are some people that get on the foreign field and they think, well, we don't have to live right over here. We don't have to live that standard or that condition over here. I've got news for you. If it's right in the States, it's right in Hong Kong. The Bible determines how we live, not geographical location. If it's wrong to strip down and go to the beach in Michigan, it's wrong in Maui, Hawaii. Nakedness is nakedness. You can't get away from God. Hey, even when you're on vacation, you're to live right. You're to live right. The Bible does not change when you're on vacation. You don't take a vacation from conviction. You may take a vacation from work. You may take a vacation from home and family. But you can't take a vacation from your convictions. If not, if you do, they're not convictions. Convictions say, God said it, that's it, I've got to live it, I don't have any choice, it's not where I am, it's not who I'm with, it's not what anybody else said, the Bible says it, that's it, I've got to do it. Some of you, I lost you on the first point a long time ago because you will not let the Bible be your final authority. Everybody else, you're saying, yeah, man, that makes sense to me. Doesn't matter where I am, I'm to live it. Hey, even when you're with bad Christians, you're supposed to live right. You see, if it is a conviction with you, if you've decided the Bible says it, I've got to do it, I don't have any choice about it, then it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter if you're on vacation, it doesn't matter what kind of Christian you're with. Who you're with does not change Bible conviction. You do right because it's right to do. Your crowd should not determine your behavior. The Bible is to determine your behavior. So if you suddenly find yourself in some little pocket of negative, critical, backslidden, liberal, non-standard Christian, you're supposed to live right anyway. Hey, you always pick a church that believes the Bible correctly. If you have its conviction with you. You never join, you'll never join the wrong church if you've decided I'll do exactly what the Bible says. The Bible will be my guide. I want right doctrine, I want right standards, I want right music, all according to the Word of God. You pick a church based on what the Bible says. You see these big semi-trucks riding down the road and on the side it says, attend the church of your choice. Attend the church of God's choice. So what do? You set this old black book down, you say, here's what the Bible says, now let me find out what this church is. Let me see what they stand for. If they don't stand for the book, you find you're the right kind of a church to go to. But here's how you pick churches. That's where my family goes. Where's that in the Bible? I don't care if any of your family members come here. I wouldn't have joined here if that's how I picked it. I wouldn't be the pastor today if I would have said, well, I ain't got no family member here. You don't pick a church because that's where your friends go. Now, I want you to have friends. God knows some of you need them desperately. I want you to have friends, but you don't pick a church and say, well, that's where my friends go. Well, that's as juvenile as a couple of kindergartners wanting to play in the sand together. Especially when it's been used as kitty litter. Wake up and smell the coffee, bud.
Yes, sir.
Or something. You don't go to the church because your family goes there. You go there because it is doctrinally sound. It's right with God. It's got the right kind of music, the right kind of standards. You said, that's what the Bible said. That's what I'm going to do. There are people, you're sitting in this church right now, and you're here because your family comes here. And I'm glad you're here, but you're not going to last.
Right.
Right. Why? Because you're not here for the right reason. You want to be here for the right reason? You be here because of what we preach and what we teach, what the Bible says. You say, well, Brother Owens, I've just always been here. That won't keep you here. Brother Smith, they come and go, don't they? The only way you'll stay where you're supposed to stay and do what you're supposed to do is if you lock onto this old black book and you say, that's my guy. It doesn't matter how long I've been in the church. It doesn't matter if any of my friends are there. It does not matter. That's not the issue. It's not my friends. It's not my family. It's not the longevity of my membership. There are people in churches right now where churches have changed and they're not what they ought to be. And they're staying there just because they've had their name on the roll for a long time. You don't stay somewhere just because you've been there a long time. You stay there because they stayed with the Word of God. And if they did not, you pack your dust and get out. And if we are not what the Bible teaches us to be, pack your dust and move up the road and find you a better church. I'm not afraid to say that. I am obligated by God to preach this old black book. It's not all about Jeff Owens. It's not all about the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. It's about the Bible. And the Bible is to be our guide. Well, I don't go to that church because it's close to home. Where's that in the Bible?
Yeah.
There are people everywhere in churches because the church is across the street from their house, just a stone's throw from home. Somebody better tell Ken Gillum and his wife that. They better tell the people that are driving all the way from up on the other side of Chambersburg and way on the far side of Hagerstown and from way down in Virginia. We've had people drive as far as 4 hours a Sunday to get to this church. You say, why? They're looking for a church that's old-fashioned, that believes the Bible, that will stand on the Bible, that will let the Bible be the guide, not the personality of the people, not the beautiful building. Hey, I'm telling you, this is how you become stable. You don't pick a church because they have a nice building. Well, thank God we have a beautiful building. Thank you. Did me fine there. I've got a beautiful building here. But if this were an old barn, you're better off in an old barn that's preaching the Bible than an immaculate, beautiful building that's not preaching the Bible. It's not the building. You said that they have a fun program. You don't pick a church because it has a fun program. I'm for fun programs. we've got baseball leagues and basketball and soccer and cheerleading, and we have activities, and we're always throwing a shindig of some kind. But we threw no shindig. But we preached the Bible without apology. It was clear that's the place to be. So you can have both. You see, you can't change if it's a conviction with you. You can't. You got to obey God. It's in the Bible. You got to obey God. You don't change for your family. So, well, my family feels it. I love your family. I want to reach your family. But it really doesn't matter what your family wants you to do. If the Bible says that you're supposed to do it, period. You can't change for your boss. So my boss said, well, wait a minute, the Bible says, who gets first place? Your boss or the Bible? I said, well, Brother Owens, my family's Catholic. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You do what the Bible says. The Catholic priest was working very diligently at getting a local Baptist boy to try out the Catholic Church. One of the little boys in the neighborhood worked with the priest to get this Baptist boy to come to the church with him. Finally, the day came. This Baptist boy went to the Catholic church with his Catholic little buddy. The priest wanted to show the Baptist boy how smart the Catholics are. He showed the boys three pictures hanging on the wall. He asked the little Catholic boy whose picture was on the far left. The boy replied, that's the Pope. The priest smiled with pride. He looked back at the little Baptist boy. Then the priest asked the little Catholic boy whose picture was that on the far right. The Catholic boy looked and pondered for a moment and replied, that's the Archbishop. The priest swelled with pride. He then asked the little Catholic boy, well, whose picture is in the middle? The little Catholic boy quickly responded, that's easy. That's Jesus on the cross. The priest was so pleased with this little Catholic boy, and then he turned to the little Baptist boy and said, Baptist boy, could have you named all three of those men? The little Baptist boy responded, well, I always knew Jesus was hung between two thieves, but I never knew their names. See, my family's Catholic. That doesn't matter. You got to do what the Bible says. You got to do what the Bible says. Well, my family's Methodist. Doesn't matter. You know how many people are going to rot and go to hell because their family was a member of something that didn't teach them about Jesus and they just hung on to the religion instead of hanging on to the Word of God? There's religion everywhere. But we're not religious around here. We're biblical around here. We believe the Bible. And some of you, you're struggling. You'll struggle all the way in. We're not even to the tough part yet. You'll struggle all the way to the end. I'll tell you why. Point number one, you have not decided you're to live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, according to this book. It's to control all your thinking, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you dress, the way you smell. It's to control everything. You're not settled on that. Because if you were, you would be logically with me right now. You'd be saying, yeah, this all makes sense. This all makes sense. No, I have no choice in the matter. God commanded it. I must obey His word. Look, I can't change what I preach. I don't have any choice about it. I can't change. I've got to preach what the Bible says to preach. I've got to preach what's in the Bible. Hey, you say, Brother Owens, let me put it this way. I say to you, if you do it because the Bible says to do it, it does not matter where you are or who you're with. It's not going to change. Geographical location won't change it. Vacation won't change it. When you're with bad Christians, it won't change it. Hey, you'll always go to the right kind of a church. You have no choice. You've got to do what the Bible says. If you can't change because of what you feel, but it's because of conviction. You know, if you'll do it, you'll believe what you believe until you're 110. It won't change. Right. Time does not change convictions. Right. The Bible does not change, so I cannot change. The times do not change Bible conviction. People may say, well, that's old-fashioned. Doesn't matter what people say. If the Bible says it, that's what I'm supposed to do. Churches may change, but I can't change. Preachers may change, but I can't change. Why? I'm obeying the Bible. Churches change, but convictions do not. Why? Because the Bible does not change. That'll make it so you believe it now. 20 years from now, you're going to be believing the same thing. Because it is a conviction. You say, it's in the Bible. Right there it is. We're to teach our children Bible convictions. Children, you're to obey your mom and dad. You're to live the way they tell you to live. Parents, they're to obey you. The Bible teaches that. That's a conviction with me. Children are to obey their parents, period. Kids say, I don't understand. It doesn't matter whether you understand. The Bible says so, you're to do it. That's conviction. That's how it's supposed to be. But, parents, let me tell you something. You better be teaching your kids why you live the way you live. Because if not, they are going to obey you and live right in your presence, and then out of your presence they won't live right. But if you have taught them from the Bible that God is the ultimate authority, when they leave, they will then know, even if mom and dad aren't around, they still have to live right, because it has become a Bible conviction to them that God sees all and they're to live right. You young people, you're to obey the rules of Martinsburg Christian Academy, but if you'll check, most all of them have scripture, and there's a reason why, and you won't live wrong in the summer if Bible conviction has become your lot. Because we don't have to worry that you're going to go out and live wicked and evil over the summer, because you're not, see, you're coming to the Christian school and obeying the rules, but if you're not obeying God in the rules, you'll live wrong over the summer. Does that make sense to you? It ought to be a conviction. I know Christian schools everywhere. Kids will come to school, they'll live according to the rules while they're on the property, while they're in the sight of the teachers. They go out and live like animals at night when they're away from the school, and on the weekend, and all summer long, and they're phony. They're phony. They're not living according to the Bible. They are just following a little piddly set of rules that they think man put together. They don't believe that God put those rules together. You obey the Bible. You ought to obey the Bible in your life. You ought to go soul winning because the Bible commands it. Proverbs 11:30 and Mark 16:15. It ought to be a conviction. You ought to be faithful to church because the Bible commands it. Hebrews 10:25, Titus 1:3. The Bible teaches you're to come to night church. It's taught in the Bible. It's a conviction with me. You ought to pray because the Bible commands it. Ephesians 6:18. You ought to read your Bible because the Bible commands it. 1 Timothy 4:13. You ought to believe in separation from the world because the Bible commands it. 1 John 2:15. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Ladies ought to dress like ladies with skirts and dresses because of Deuteronomy 22:5. 1 Timothy 2:9. Isaiah 47:3. Men ought to keep their hair cut like men, decent men, because of 1 Corinthians 11:14. We ought to separate from non-Bible believers because the Bible commands it in 2 John 1:10. We ought to believe that God preserved the Word of God in Matthew 4:4, that we would have in our language a perfect Word of God. Psalm 12, verse number 7. We ought to believe that our children should receive a Christian education and should not be educated by the heathen, according to Deuteronomy 18:9 and Jeremiah 10:2. I'm a Baptist by conviction, Matthew 3:13. I believe that salvation is by grace through faith, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. You can't lose your salvation, John 10, 27 and 28. I tithe by conviction. I come to church by conviction. I live holy by conviction. I don't drink because the Bible says don't drink. I don't smoke because the Bible teaches it'll destroy the temple of God. I do what I do because the Bible. I have no choice, and neither do you. Neither do you, and if you do what the Bible says not to do, you are in rebellion to the God of the universe. It's called conviction. You say, I'm upset with you. I didn't write the book. I just stand on what it says. You say, you're cocky. That's called confidence. I'm staggering. You ought to believe it so strongly that when you get backslidden, you know you're wrong and the Bible's still right. You know what people do? They get backslidden and all of a sudden they say, well, I don't believe that anymore. Bible's wrong. They're wrong about that. No, you're backslidden. You know something? I'm glad that when I'm backslidden, I always look in the mirror and say, the Bible's right, Jeff, you're wrong. You're the one that needs to change to get right. There are people in here, you're backslidden. You are backslidden. You're away from the Bible. Some of you are reared with some conviction. You've gotten away from it. Get right with God. Why? The Bible says so. The Bible says so. Do what you do because the Bible says to do it. Not for the wrong reasons. And if you'll do that, you won't be wishy-washy. You won't be always debating about the things of God. I hope to God. You know, my life is not always changing in regard to what I am and what I believe. Now, I need to be purifying me, and I've got a lot of work to do on me. But I don't change what I believe. I'm just trying to get me to live what I believe. Some of you, you're so unstable. You know what you need to do? The Bible says it. That's it. Now, my goal from here to eternity is to live what that Bible says. I don't have to change what I believe. I don't have to debate what I believe. We all have to grow at what we believe, but we don't change what we believe. That'll stabilize the church. That makes the church strong. That makes the people strong. That makes the family strong. Moms and dads, the sooner you start living according to this book and let it be the authority in your life, the less your kids will be confused. But every time you don't do what the Bible says, your kids are going to end up confused. They can't figure out what to do. They can't figure out what's right. They can't figure out what's wrong. Get some absolutes. Make it so that if you're not living something that's in the Bible, your kids are able to say, well, it's in the Bible. Mom's not doing it. She's wrong. The Bible's right. That'll get your kids stability.
Right.
Oh, but if you're not willing to let that happen, then you're going to have your kids mixed up all the time.
Right.
I see my son and daughter, Jeff and Savannah. Jeff, Savannah, you guys have been taught by your parents how to live. The Bible's right. I think I could speak for the Browns as well. If you find out, Savannah, Jeff, if you find out that Brother and Mrs. Brown get away from God, or you find out Mom and Dad get away from God, you keep doing right because what you've been taught is in the Bible. You don't need us to be the right kind of Christian. You can do it without us. Hey, and if you find out we're doing wrong, we're wrong. The Bible's still right. That's how it is. That's how it ought to be. It ought to be that even when you're backslidden, you know you're wrong and the Bible's still right. Quit being a coward and trying to change what you believe when you're backslidden. You're trying to justify your own backslidden way. Not supposed to be that way. If you're away from God, you ought to know. The Bible says it. I'm not doing it. I'm wrong. The Bible's right. The only thing to do is get right with God or stay backslidden. But that's your choice. If you're here today and you're not saved, it's not been a salvation message. But it has been a message of stability. The Bible says this. You're a sinner. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says sinners die and go to hell. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus Christ died for sinners. He died for you, is buried for you, and resurrected for you. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says you can't work for your salvation. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says you need to turn to Jesus Christ. Ask Him to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart, and be your Savior. And if you'll do that, He'll save you. You'll be saved once and for all. You only have to do it once, but you got to do it at least that once. That's what the Bible says. That's conviction with me. That's how I got saved, and I know beyond any shadow of a doubt, I'm saved on my way to heaven. If you've never done that, you're on your way to hell. You say, that's bold. That's Bible.
Amen.
That's strong. That's an unstaggering salvation. That's what the Bible says. If you're not saved, we welcome you to the Savior. If you're a Christian today, the decision that you're going to make is, will I get conviction about me, about the things of God? And believe, if it's right today, it's right tomorrow. If it's right here, it's right there. If it's right, it's right. And I'm the one that's wrong if I'm not doing it. Conviction, stability, fiber in Christianity. That's what we're looking for. There are people in here, you wouldn't believe how many people said to me, well, I used to, and you're not right with God. You used to do right and good, now you're not. Why? You're not right with God. Was it a conviction? Does the Bible say it? Somebody here needs to get right with God today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed. Every eye closed.